came and found us. Amen? If it had just been for one, he would have died, even just for you. Open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to stand in a moment, not right away. We're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. And then we're going to read a portion of this together. I'm going to read some and you're going to read, but not yet, Eva. We're going to stand in just a minute. I'm sorry. I wanted to say a few words before we look into the Word of God this morning. And just, you're going to be tempted to look into Genesis as I read these, but just listen. And I want to give you this story that begins in Genesis, ends in the Revelation, but the beginning of the story we need to know about today because it certainly applies to our message. And I will just read you a few verses here. Now, the subject is death. There are two different definitions of death in the Bible, and neither of them are good. One definition of death is the separation of the body and the spirit. When you and I die, our body ceases to have life, and our spirit and our soul depart from our body. That's one kind of death. There's another kind of death that's also mentioned here in the passage I'm going to read to you in a moment. It is a separation of man and God. It's a separation of our spirit from his spirit. It's a separation that we learn about. It's actually the first definition of death in the Bible back in Genesis chapter 2. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God told Adam, he said, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they did not fall to the ground lifeless, but sin entered into the world, and the Bible says death by sin. It's explained that way in Romans and Corinthians. And so when they ate that fruit, they were separated from God, and thus began the long, tragic story of man, and thus began the victorious story we just sang about where the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us. Amen? So I'm going to read you some more verses, quite a few. Bear with me. He says, "Thou shalt surely die," in chapter 2 and verse 17. In chapter 3 and verse 4, the serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die." Has the devil ever lied to you? Well, he did there. And sure enough, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5 that all the days Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. In chapter 5 and verse 11, the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. In verse 14, the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Verse 17, the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20 of chapter 5, the days of Jared, 960 and 2 years, and he died. Verse 27, the days of Methuselah, the man who lived the very longest in the Bible, 960 and 9 years, and he died. Chapter 6 and verse 17, God said, "I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. Everything that is in the earth shall die." Chapter 9 and verse 29, Noah died. Chapter 11, verse 28, Haran died. Verse 32, Terah died. Chapter 25 and verse 8, Abraham died. Verse 17, Ishmael died. Verse 19 of chapter 35, Rachel died. Verse 29, Isaac died. Genesis 41, 21, Jacob died. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26, the very last book in Genesis, Joseph died and was put in a coffin in Egypt. Folks, the wages of sin is death. If you know of anybody who believes they never will sin, there's great evidence of that, then they never will die. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And death, Genesis is a book of beginnings, but it's also a book of death. But God's not finished yet, amen? This morning, I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to read together in Luke chapter 24. Now, I'm going to read the odd-numbered verses, the first one, that is, and you're going to read out loud with me the even-numbered verses. We're going to read from verse 13 down to verse 26. So I'll read verse 13 all by myself as you listen, and then you'll read verse 14 with me, and we'll continue that pattern all the way down to verse 26. Let's begin reading. I'll read out loud beginning in chapter 24 and verse 13. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the great number of folks that have come out for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, even now, as we've been praying for quite some time, we ask that your Spirit would rule and reign in our midst. I pray that you would protect us today. Help each one here to be able to focus on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to have free rule and reign. And God, I just pray that you'd protect us from anything that would keep us from having that kind of working in our midst today. And that each one here would rejoice to hear the Word of God and to be in the house of God this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews made a promise to you and I. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Isn't it funny how sometimes as we walk through life, we have this tendency to forget the Lord's with us? And in fact, that's what's happening here in Luke chapter 24. On the day of the resurrection, these people walking along, these men, had the Lord right there with them the whole time and didn't even realize it. Until the very end, of course. And it was something that made a huge difference in their life when they found out that the Lord Jesus Christ really was risen. Now, it's one thing to hear about that. That's what happened earlier in the passage that we read together, is they heard from others that the Lord was risen. But what really made a difference in their life was that personal experience. Amen? That's what you and I need in our life. That's what you need in your life is you need to know the Lord personally. Amen? And when they found out who it was, everything changed. There are so many people today that sadly, even some Christians, I'm afraid, who are living their life as if they were in this first portion of this passage. And they're walking along through life and they're sad and they're not quite sure where they're going. This city called Emmaus, for example, it was no special place. If I remember correctly, the word means something about hot pools. I think there were four different places with this name. And the Bible, and of course Luke the historian is kind enough to give us a specific distance from where these men were located to this place called Emmaus. From Jerusalem to Emmaus was about 7 miles. You can walk that in 2.5 hours at an easy pace. And as they're walking along, they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, but they're sad. They don't know who he is. They really have no direction. They're just kind of heading off down the road, and must not have been too important, because when they got there and found out who Jesus was, they turned around and came back. Amen? And some fellows that walked 14 miles on the Resurrection Sunday, and I'll talk about that some more here in just a minute. I want to encourage you, God, Jesus wants to be real in your life. Amen? The Lord Jesus wants to be real in your life. He doesn't want to just be someone that walks with you anonymously or that you don't know. He wants to be real in your life. And if he is real in your life, he will make a difference. He will make a difference in your life if he is real to you. When you know him as your Lord and Savior, your resurrected Lord, it'll make a difference in your life. And it could be that some of us, saved or lost, need to have that kind of an experience today. I'm going to show you very quickly 4 different things that changed for these men once they found out who the Lord Jesus Christ was. I'm going to read a few more verses and have a word of prayer, and we'll take a look at that. And I want to begin just where you left off a while ago. The Bible says at verse 27, it says, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Father, please bless our time now. God, we just lift it up to you once again. Pray for you to work. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Look back in verse 17. It says, and the Lord speaking here, he says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You can tell when someone's happy and someone is sad. And these men, as they walked along, they were reminiscing about what had happened literally 3 days before. The resurrection has taken place. They just don't know it yet. They've heard about it. They've heard some reports from some people that had seen evidence of it. But to them, it was still an uncertain thing or just a question. And they're walking along, and they're sad. They don't have a happiness in their heart. They look at the situation, and as we often make the same mistake, they don't remember that the story is not finished yet, that the Lord still is going to do some more things. And they look at the circumstances, and it discourages them. It's a silly kind of an illustration I have for you today, or alliteration, I should say, but I'm going to use the letter F, and I want to show you 4 things that changed in their life. And the first thing that changed was their face in 2 particular ways. Now, it goes without saying, once they realized who the Lord Jesus Christ was, that he was with them, and that he really was risen, that changed everything. It certainly changed their countenance, amen? We meet so many people that are walking through this world, and they really don't have a particular direction, and their life is not one of happiness, it's one of sadness. The circumstances get them down. Folks, the world is a sad place. I was thinking about the death in the book of Genesis. Time after time after time, the Bible says, and this fellow died, and this fellow died, and this fellow died. And you and I know of folks that have died recently, loved ones perhaps that we have lost, or friends and relations. And folks, it is appointed unto man once to die. Death is coming, and it's a sad thing. They knew of the death of Christ. They didn't know of the resurrection of Christ. And when they found about that resurrection, it changed the way they saw things. It changed their countenance, and the sadness went away. I hope you're not walking through life sad, not realizing the resurrection of the Lord. Folks, we have a great reason to be happy. We have great reason to rejoice. We were singing Victory in Jesus just now, and I couldn't help but get a little bit excited. We really have victory, amen? He won the battle for us. If you're worried about winning the battle yourself, don't do that. The Lord won the victory already. It is a sure victory. I read the book, the end of the book. God wins, amen? We are bound to enjoy the benefits of what he did on that cross because of his resurrection. It changed their face. He also changed their eyes. And I want to look at verse 31 with you. It says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Can you remember that day when you found the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You might not remember the exact date, although many people can. But even I can remember back when I was a child and I received Christ as my Savior, and I can remember some of the events of that day. I can remember the joy in that day of knowing that I wasn't going to go to hell, that I was saved. And then I can remember, and this is a very common thing, I hear a lot of people say this, thinking to myself, I want to tell some people about this. This is good. I've told you this story here before. The visitors won't have heard it, but many of the members will, of a young lady who was in our church in Utah, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. And she was going to the University of Utah. She was going to a party one night, but that morning she found Christ as her Savior. And she was so excited about it, she went to the party that night and she was telling everyone, I got saved today. They weren't quite sure what to think about her. That wasn't what they came to that party to hear. But in her naivety of just being glad she was saved, she wanted to tell somebody. It's good to tell somebody, amen? Folks, we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You and I, when we received the Lord Jesus Christ and our eyes were opened, that's a day to remember. Changed their face, the way that they looked, their view on life and the way people saw them. Folks, the reason we're different is because we have a hope that lies within us. Amen? And your face and your hope ought to be powerful enough that the people around you can say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about them. They've got a hope that I don't have. They've got an outlook that I sure would like to enjoy. Their face was changed. Now, there's a second thing that changed. And we'll drop down to verse 17 again. There, in verse 17. And he says, first of all, in verse 13, they're on the way to Emmaus. Again, it's 7 miles away. In verse 17, he asks them why they are sad. And then, down in verse 33, it says, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, knowing who the Lord was changed their face. It also changed, or I should say it had an effect upon their feet. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I used to be in the Army. And I remember one of the things that we used to have to do was called a forced march. And how many of you fellows were ever in the military and had a pair of boots you got broke in real good? A good pair of boots is just as good as tennis shoes, amen? And I walked halfway around the world, I felt like, in that pair of boots. I've still got them somewhere. They're probably old and crusty and falling apart. But I remember walking and walking and walking and walking until my feet would get sore. Watch what happens to these fellows. They are on a journey to Emmaus. The Bible never tells us why they were going there. Maybe they were planning on making some money in Emmaus. Maybe they were planning on visiting with some people. Maybe they just wanted to get away for a while and rest there. If there was a pool of water, they might have perhaps gone there for that purpose. But whatever it was, they made that 7-mile journey all the way to Emmaus. And then when they found out who the Lord was, they turned around and went back. 14 miles in one day. I want you to know something. When you find the resurrected Savior in your life, it's going to have an effect on your feet. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. It's going to cause you to go some places. It's going to cause you to go some places you wouldn't have gone otherwise. I'll give you some examples. Missionaries, if you meet a missionary, missionaries have got to be about half crazy in one sense, and that is they'll drive halfway across the country and think nothing of it. Stephen Harris, our missionary to Mexico, he talks about a trip to Ohio like I think about a trip to downtown Phoenix. He just kind of goes there, you know, and stops at churches along the way and preaching. And a missionary's car definitely got six digits on the odometer. I mean, they're making the rounds. But folks, you and I got to have feet that move around as well, because there's a world out there that needs to hear the gospel. Amen? And we think sometimes that God would send somebody else. But what a privilege you and I have to go someplace on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think that would happen. No, Jesus said this. He said, so send I you. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a journey to make. We have some miles to put on our feet, as it were, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell other folks. Why were they going back to Jerusalem? We read it, but I'll just tell you anyway. They were going back to tell some people what they saw. I got to ask you the question. Are you excited about the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Amen? Because of the benefits in our life, and I'll talk about some more of that in just a minute. Don't you think some other folks need to hear about that? Do you remember when you first got saved, how excited you were to tell somebody? I forgot where I was just recently, and somebody came up to me. It was a church service, and they said, Pastor, I got saved today. I remember not too long ago, a person in this room came to me and said, Pastor, I got saved this week. I like to tell people what God did in my life, and I like it when you tell me what God did in your life. And as I look out, I know many of you, I know your stories, and when God did something, you let other folks know, you let me know. Let's go tell the world, amen? Let's put some miles on our feet. Brother Hickson and I faithfully go out every week, and usually on Tuesday mornings at 9:30, and we go soul winning. And we walk, and we walk, and we walk, and we walk, and we stop, and we talk to people, and we stand there, and we talk. And by the end of the day, I'm glad to get back to the church and rest my feet. Knowing the risen Savior will change the life of your feet. It will get you going some places you wouldn't have otherwise gone. And that's a good thing. Amen? The world needs to hear about him. It was had an effect on their face. The resurrection made a difference to their feet. Now, let's look at verse 33 again. They rose up the same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. The third F in the alliteration this morning is, it will change your fellowship. It will change, I could say, your friends. I enjoy being around God's people because we have something in common. We know the Lord. We have the same, my last F is coming in a minute, we have the same future. We have had the same experiences with him. We have the same confidence in him. We know that when we have trials, we can pray to him. We know that when we receive blessings, that they came from him. And our fellowship is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I cannot have good fellowship with someone that doesn't trust Christ. I cannot have good fellowship. I can carry a conversation on with just about anybody, but I cannot have friendship and fellowship with someone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. It's hard for me to relate to that. I can't, for example, have good conversation in a friendly sort with a person that denies Christ and believes in evolution. I just want to tell you something. When you stand before God one day, one of the silliest ideas you're going to know about is the idea of evolution. It is crazy. Folks, this body that we have, this world we live in, the complexity of our mind, all the things of nature, those are not an accident. God did that. God designed that. God built that. God preserves that. It belongs to him. And everything about us, he created us. He created you for his pleasure. Someone that doesn't see that, I can converse with them. I can try to explain some things to them, but I'm not going to be able to be a good friend of theirs. So what it comes down to is we need each other, don't we? We need each other for that friendship, for that fellowship, because we see things the same way. We see things through the Word of God. We see this book as the truth. Amen? And when we talk to one another, it's based on truth like that. It changed their friendship. They went back to the 11 and they said, we want to talk to you about what we saw. We found the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a final thing, and we've got just enough time to finish. I need to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Just keep on going a little bit further along and go to the book of Romans, and we'll start in chapter 5. The last verse in Genesis, Joseph died, was put in a coffin in Egypt. The wages of sin is death. People died. I remember some years ago walking into the back of a room about this size, and I walked into that room and I looked to the front of the room, and there was a man laying there. He was laying in a casket. It was my father. He'd passed away. I went to that funeral, and if you've been to a Christian funeral, We miss those folks because we have to wait to be with them again, but I don't have to say goodbye to my father. I'll be with him for all eternity because he was saved. It's a sad thing to go to the funeral of a person who's not saved because there's no hope like that. I mentioned to you earlier that one of the effects of death, one of the definitions of death is separation, and there's an impact of death upon all of us because when we have loved ones that have died in Christ, if they were saved, we are separated with them. But folks, because Jesus rose, they will rise, and we will rise, and we'll be with them again. Amen? And that's a tremendous comfort to me. Romans chapter 5 says this in verse 12. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just like we saw in Genesis. Adam sinned and he died. And the men after him, we read many names, they died. And that was all because of sin. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that the sting of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, you're right there. Just turn to verse 23. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? It is because of His resurrection that we can be made alive. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, in Christ shall all be made alive. And I didn't plan it this way, but the cover of your bulletin today has John chapter 14 and verse 19 on it. And Jesus said this, because I live, ye shall live also. So we come to church on Resurrection Sunday. Why do we come to church? Well, we come to church to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This book is truth. His Spirit meets with us. And as we sing and as we hear the Word of God, we wait for the Lord to work in our lives. And many of you, even recently, have seen God work in your lives in a great way. And we come here because we appreciate what He's done for us. Amen? We come here because we believe in Him. We believe this book. We believe its promises. We believe what God has said. And we've seen Him work in our lives and fulfill these promises. And we come here to worship Him and to thank Him for that. We come here to strengthen one another so that we can go out and tell others. Because the world is not as friendly towards us as we are towards one another. But they need to hear the gospel before it's too late. But we come here because we've been changed. We're just like those folks on the road to Emmaus. We were walking along. We had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we met Him in person, it changed our life. Amen? Didn't it change you? It changed everything. It changed our outlook on life, our face. It changed where we go, our feet. It changed who we communicate with, our fellowship. But greatest of all, and the rejoicing that we would have today would be because of this, it changed our future. Because every single one of us was a sinner bound for eternity in hell. And then, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. And 1 Corinthians says this, He was buried and He rose again the third day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if he's not risen, then our faith is in vain. But folks, our faith is not in vain. Amen? And Resurrection Sunday is just a small glimpse, just a little taste of what we have to look forward to. Because folks, just as he rose from the dead, one day he will raise us from the dead. And we'll be with him for all eternity. With our loved ones. With each other. But most importantly, with our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Now, let me ask you a question, and I'm done. Do you have that confidence that I just described? Have you met him in person? Do you know him as your Savior? I'm not talking about a physical experience to where you shook his hand or saw his face, but you can hear his voice, can't you? And the Bible says, by faith, we are saved. By grace are you saved through faith. It is because of what we believe. Having not seen him, we have believed. One day we will see him. Because as he is risen, we will be as well. Have you got that assurance that you've been saved, that you know him as your Savior, that you'll rise one day and be with him for all eternity? If not, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If he had not risen from the dead, none of that would be true. Because do you realize, he promised these men, he promised his disciples he was going to rise from the dead. And folks, he keeps his promises, amen? Resurrection Sunday, what difference does the resurrection make? It makes all the difference to us. It is a foundation for our new life in Christ. It is the pedestal that our hope rests upon. It is that which makes us who we are and gives us the purpose that we have. And if you've strayed away from that, maybe you need to meet him again. Maybe you need to spend some time with him again and draw close to him again and find out he really is all that he says he is. You know, you can spend your life going from Emmaus to Emmaus to Emmaus and not have a purpose. Or you can know a risen Savior and have a great life in Christ. It's our choice, amen? Let's all stand and pray.